And sometimes you and I need to just keep going and doing what we know God has called us to do, because eventually the faithfulness of our activity will meet the faithfulness of God and something supernatural can happen. And that's exactly what happened to these men who carried their friend. Jesus looked up and was amazed at their faith. And their faithfulness met the faithfulness of God. I love that. I love that because that's so important. Yes, I know people are going to, you know, they're going to develop attitudes about you. They're going to develop. Sometimes God puts people that just rub you the wrong way and you rub them the wrong way. And it's a challenge for you to keep focused. Keep the main thing the main thing. Sometimes the obstacle is our own failure. Our own, I opened my mouth one too many times. Repent, say you're sorry, and keep shooting. Do you understand? Keep going. Keep going, doing what God called you to do. Amen? These men faced a hindrance in their mission, and their work involved missions. And when you are dedicated to the mission, you can expect obstacles. They opened up the roof, lowered the man in, and this is what the scripture said. And Jesus saw. Don't you love that? He saw it. He saw it. When you look at scripture, there are certain things that Jesus takes note of that just kind of surprises everybody. For example, the lady with the two mites in the temple. Jesus took notice of what she gave. Now, what we most overlook is they had this thing in the temple that the more you put into the apparatus, the giving unit there, the more noise it made. So the more money you gave and put in the deal, the more it made. You just said, look what I did. Praise me for my large offering. And here comes a little widow with two mites. She dropped that in the thing that made all the noise. Tick, tick. And everybody else is going, ignoring what Jesus saw. Can I tell you something? God sees your faithfulness. And God, seeing your faithfulness, will one day be met with his faithfulness. Don't ever forget that. Listen, we at Freedom Church are probably having one of the best years financially we've ever had. It ain't because of one person. It's everybody doing their part. Is that not cool? Thank God. You know what I want to do? Finish strong. Amen. Finish strong. Let's keep going. Let's don't stop. And Jesus saw their faith. He took notice of their faith. I love it because faith is something God can see. Faith shows up in our lives through faithfulness. And God sees it. And that means other people see our faith through our faithfulness. And when Jesus saw, he acknowledged their faith, and then he spoke. And we know when Jesus speaks, something happens. Glory to God. Pay attention to the words of Jesus. I love the whispers of the Holy Spirit to my spirit. Pay attention. When he whispers, he always confirms. He confirms what he whispers. Because sometimes what he whispers ain't him whispering. And I have to learn to confirm that with his word, confirm that with other brothers and sisters, because I can get off course by listening to my own spirit, listening to my own selfishness, to the easy path, not the hard path. So here he is. Jesus saw it. He speaks. Your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. And this is the truth. When Jesus speaks and when Jesus commands, it's going to upset somebody in the room. I want to be on the side that when Jesus says and when Jesus commands, it doesn't upset me. I go with God. Amen. So here he is. And who's... Oh, here's the other obstacles in the room. It's the teachers of the law, the scribes who know the law backwards and forward, have invented things up, some 613 laws in this thing called the Mishnah that you had to do, and it described life of faith according to the Old Testament law that if your wife burned the food, you could divorce her. My wife's sitting right there. I've had mercy on her. This is no joke. This is no joke. We lived in Gibsonville, North Carolina, and we ate tacos a lot because they were cheap. And there was probably about 3 weeks in a row where the taco shells came out of the oven flaming. I'm telling the truth. Am I telling the truth? Yeah. Yeah. Listen, she knows what a burnt offering is. Hey, if you remain faithful, you can smile. You can laugh. You can continue on in the joy of the Lord. Here are the scribes getting all upset. They're experts in the law and the oral tradition. And they say, who alone can forgive sins but God? They didn't know who was standing in the room. God was in the room. And he says to them, so that you know that I have authority to forgive sins, you're going to learn something here. Teach me, Lord. Teach me your power, Lord. Amen. Teach me your power. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says this. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. That's exactly why he came. They nailed it, that he had the power, the authority to forgive men and women of their sins on earth. Aren't you glad we don't have to get to heaven and then be forgiven? I mean, that is a pie in the sky, and some people kind of work out their religion that way. But you and I can be forgiven today, cleansed, washed by his blood, because he came with the authority of heaven on earth to forgive us of our sin. Hallelujah. You know what that means? I don't walk around in shame. I don't walk around in guilt. I don't walk around in condemnation. I am free. And if the Son sets you free, hallelujah. So here he is. He is the one who would atone for our sins, wipe them out, cleanse them from the slate of our heart. And he would be the one who would forgive us. No sacrifice in the Old Testament could cleanse your conscience from sin. But his blood can. Amen. The scripture says, but now, once and for all, Jesus would be our Savior. The writer of Hebrews would put it this way in Hebrews 10:10. And by that, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Christ once for all. Day after day, the priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, talking about Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The scribes, the Pharisees, or the scribes say, he's blaspheming. And John Mark has given us a hint at what's coming. The trial that would happen in 14 more chapters, 15 really. 15 more chapters is all about Jesus being tried for blasphemy. See, he's trying to set the stage, getting the door open. So you have that in the back of your head, because the plot is going to get thicker and thicker and thicker. They question Jesus' authority in their minds, in their hearts. This is what they said. Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus, being Jesus, responds to their thoughts. Woo. I wonder what would happen if Jesus responded to your thoughts. Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. So he said unto the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. When Jesus challenges your thought, thoughts, it's time to think about your conclusions. When Jesus challenges, you know what? I want to give permission for Jesus to challenge my thinking. What's going on in my heart, Lord? Amen? Because sometimes we need that mirror that no one else can see but the Holy Spirit of heaven. Yeah. You see, when Jesus challenges your thought, it's time to think about your conclusion. When Jesus challenges your thought, he wants to teach you a very important lesson. Amen. And here's the lesson. But I want you to know, verse 10, that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And then the command happens. So that you know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth. Get up, take your mat, go home. Don't you just love that? Because this is what I think. There's a bunch of clutter around the place. Because when you go through the roof of a house, there's some sticks and mud and stuff on the floor. And Jesus says, take your mat. Take your mat. What brought you here, you're carrying out. What brought you here, where you had no control, now you're controlling it. And sometimes we let things control us in the world that God never intended for us to be controlled by. Pick up your mat, go home. Jesus saw, Jesus speaks, Jesus knows their thoughts, Jesus commands, and Jesus heals. Isn't God good? The man is no longer paralyzed, but he walks out. He walks out. Can you imagine being in that room? Wouldn't you just love to have been in that room? That's not supposed to happen. That is not supposed to happen. I need the worship team back here. That is not supposed to happen. Everyone saw it. Everyone saw it. And this is what the scripture says. Everyone is amazed. I want to be amazed at God again. I want to be amazed. Sometimes our faithfulness is a wonderful thing, and it's a beautiful thing. But you know what? I believe with all my heart God wants to invade this world with his power and with his presence and with his spirit. I believe with all my heart that God is ready to revive his church again. I want to be amazed at that activity. I want to be amazed. And you know what the scriptures? Everyone praised God. Everyone praised God. For what? For what took place in the life of somebody who had no name. Who had no name. Whose guys who let him through the roof had no name. They were amazed, and everyone praised God about it. And this is what they say. We've never seen this before. We've never seen this before. This is what I know. Jesus knows how to do the never seen this before. Never seen this before. Would you bow your heads with me? I wish somehow Pastor Larry could stir up a holy hunger in your life. But I can't. I believe only the Holy Spirit can do that. I can be his instrument. I can speak his word. I can challenge you with his word. But ultimately, you need to invite the Holy Spirit to stir that up. I don't know about, I just think this would be a good season for you to invite the Holy Spirit to maybe do something that's never been done before in your own heart and your own life. Because this is what I know, when God stirs by his Holy Spirit, he speaks, he supplies strength, he supplies provision. He supplies all that needs to be had. Because when your faithfulness meets his faithfulness, miracles happen. I heard someone say it the other day. Your comfort zone is where faith and vision go to die. We can get awful comfortable being saved, coming to church. I don't know about you, but I want to walk around with some kind of faith that opens up roofs and lowers people in at the feet of Jesus. So he can do his work. Stir something up in me, Lord. Stir something up in me, Lord. Work something. God, may we be the church that sees what's never been done before. Help us, Lord, to be amazed at the work of your hand in our lives, in our small groups, in our Sunday school classes. Help us to be amazed at what you do, Lord. We need you, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit of heaven, stir up something in this pastor that's hungry. Stir up something in this pastor, Lord, to be amazed at the work of your hand again. God, stir up your church. Thank you, Lord, for what's ahead. Thank you, Lord, for the move of your Spirit.